could call on God in prayer. He already knows your heart. But you know, it's a wonderful thing that we can come to Him, as Peter writes, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. And no matter what you have achieved or whatever you have in this world, the greatest gift you have is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That you can pray in His name and talk to Almighty God. I sat there this morning. Last fall, my wife and I went to visit our son. They just had twins and lives outside Washington, D.C. in McLean, Virginia. And before we left, we went over to Washington just for a few minutes, looked at the White House and a couple of other sites. And right around the White House, there was a big fence and gates, and there were guards at each gate. And I just thought, well, I'll take a picture of this. And the guard came out of the gate and said, "You can't do that." I said, "Oh, okay." But you know what? They protect their president. But we've had access to Almighty God. What a blessed privilege it is today. And what a privilege and blessing it is to gather together with the saints of God in the house of God. To understand and know today that wherever two or three together are gathered together in His name, there is He in the midst of them. So I'm thankful when I go to church, I know the Lord's going to be there. Amen. May not be many there, but the Lord's there. Amen. That's the important thing. Amen. Please take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, if you will. Spend a few minutes. As bad as this old world is, there's some things I'd like to try to preach about this morning, because I know soon we're going to leave it. We're going somewhere else. And I'm thankful for that. I had a church member, while you're turning there, old brother Chuck Dodd. He used to call me two or three times a week. He'd say, "How's Brother Senek today?" And we'd talk. And then before he hung up, he always said, "Brother, if I don't see you anymore down here, I'll meet you in the air." And you know, that's assurance, and that's a blessing, isn't it? We have that. And the world or the devil can't take that from us. I just want to read two verses right now. We'll look at several along the way. But the Bible said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." From that reading, I just want to speak for a few moments. A simple little message this morning is the word Wonderful. Isaiah was inspired by the Spirit to write, "His name shall be called Wonderful." Now, he has other names. But I'm thankful today because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so we have victory. And we're not losers today. The world says you're a loser if you believe in Jesus Christ, but the Bible said you're a winner. And we have victory today. And so as we look at this, and we look at it, at the word Wonderful, there's a lot of definitions for it. We use it in a lot of different ways. But one of the things today, beloved, that I see in my Bible and try to get a closer understanding of the word Wonderful, and it refers to something or someone out of the ordinary. Now, our Savior is different from this whole world. Something or someone unusual. and something or someone uncommon. He had to be unusual or uncommon, because you don't see many people in this world would lay down their life for you and die for you and so that you might have life. But He did that for us. Amen. How wonderful that is today. And His name shall be called Wonderful. How is He wonderful? There's several things I want to share with you. One of them is how He fulfilled the prophecies contained in the Word of God. Every last one of them. There's only one left that I'm looking for very closely. And I'll get to that, I hope, before I finish this morning. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just read one verse over there, if I may. Hebrews 1 and in verse 1. One of the marvelous things, oftentimes, beloved, when God speaks to us through His Word, He tells us about some things that Brother Cummings just showed us over there. He talks about Noah and talks about him not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, doesn't he?
That's right.
But when we get over here, I find I've got 66 books that make up this book, this Bible, and they all talk about Jesus.
Amen.
And it thrills my heart.
Amen.
He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. The world just didn't happen. And you didn't just happen.
Amen.
The triune God said in the beginning of time, not even before, it was before time was ever recorded, they said, let us make man in our image.
Amen.
And they took of the dust of the earth and formed man and breathed into his nostrils, the Bible said, and he became a living soul.
Right.
And then one day, years later, you and I were born into this world, and by the grace of God, somebody told you about a one who could save us from our sin. And God's Spirit took hold of us, quickened us, convicted us, gave us the gift of faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when we trusted Him and believed that He died for us and shed His precious blood for us. Isn't it wonderful today to be saved by God's grace?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
They can't take it from you.
That's right.
And I used to hear my pastor say several times over the years that he was my pastor. By the way, he sends his greetings to each of you today. I talked with him yesterday. And he used to say, they'll be shouting on the hills of glory. And I like that. Isn't that wonderful? We'll be up there with Jesus. Always together with Him and with the saints of God.
Amen.
But think of these things this morning. He spoke, for example, to Abraham and provided a nation through which the Lord should come.
Mm-hmm.
See, God didn't just let things happen. He's a God of organization. He put things together and blessed us, you see. He spoke to Jacob and revealed, if you look in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, when He spoke to him, he revealed the chosen tribe, if you will, of our Savior's ancestry and said it was the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 and in verse number 10, He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between His feet, He said, until Shiloh come. And unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. Friend, today you and I have got someone in our hearts today that we can shout about. We've got something wonderful. And God has blessed us. Not because of what we've done, not because of who we are or anything else. All we are sinners. But God, thank You, Father, because we're sinners saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
What a joy it is today to gather with the saints of God and come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Whew. To Micah, he told of his birthplace. In Micah chapter 5, he said it would be in Bethlehem.
Amen.
And you know what? That's where he was born.
Amen.
Through Daniel, he declared the time of his birth. And he was right. In Malachi, he spoke of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist.
Yes. Yes.
And in Jonah, he revealed a picture of his resurrection, if you will. And beloved, how truly we can say his name is wonderful.
Amen.
That he would love you and I enough to one day go to Calvary and die for us. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me put that back for a moment. But he's wonderful in his birth.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody was ever born like Jesus was.
Right.
Our births were normal as human beings go. You see, and I read somewhere in the book, and I put it down in my outline because it sounded good. I read it in the commentary, but it was said that he was the earthly child of a heavenly father. And the heavenly child of an earthly mother. And you know what? That's true. And he fulfilled. Let me take you back to Isaiah chapter 7 now.
Yes.
And in verse 14, if I may. Isaiah chapter 7. And in verse 14, the prophet was inspired to write, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Yes.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." He came down to be with us. One day we'll go home to be with him. How wonderful that is. How glorious that is. And I tell you what, when you get there, you won't be disappointed. If man would have had a hand in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, they probably would have chosen a palace. I saw the pomp on the news this morning about 6 o'clock before I used the expression, jumped into the shower. And they had the big thing on this Pope's head and robes and everything else. But my Savior didn't come in the world dressed like that. He came in without, if you will, that you and I might have. You see, he knows how the flesh thinks. We flesh wants to make a big show and make a big to-do about everything. But he humbled himself and came in the form of a servant. See, God chose a stable. That's all he did. And the Bible teaches us, calls it a manger, but all it was a feed trough. And my Savior, Lord of glory, was laid in that manger, in that feed trough. But God, instead of using the garments of silk and finery and everything else, God chose swaddling clothes of a poor peasant, if you will. And so the Prince of Glory was born that way into this world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we think about it, what a rebuke it ought to be to our pride. You know, we've got to dress it up. We've got to make it nice. We've got to heap finery on it and have a big to-do about everything. That's what they're doing now over in Rome, isn't it? But I remind you, beloved, this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No matter how much pomp and how much finery and everything else and a big to-do with everything, without Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he's going to die and go to hell like any lost soul. He was so rich in glory and laid all that aside and came down to this earth to become poor. And we today who are so poor think we've attained so much on our own. But I look in the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "Every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's neither variableness nor shadow of turning." Everything we have today is a gift from God. Man talks about his education, what he's achieved and what he's attained. God lets you have the education. Brother Cummins can teach till he's blue in the face, but if they grasp it and get it up here, that's fine, because God gave them that ability to think and reason and comprehend. But you see, when it comes to being saved by the grace of God, it's not getting it up here, it's getting it right here in your heart. There's a difference. God is different than the world, you see. He affects our hearts today, where man speaks to our heads. But God chose him stable. And you know what? God knew what he was doing, didn't he?
Amen.
My Savior is the object of all true worship. And though the world may hate what you and I believe today, and believe me, it does. And though they want to tell us how we ought to accept all these other religions in the world today, but if they preach another gospel,
amen,
we're not to have anything to do with them.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And if they teach people that if you go along today, and like the Muslims do, and you find people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're worthy to be killed. They say, I don't believe that. You shouldn't preach it. But that's the truth. That's what their Bible teaches.
That's right.
And so as we see that, we've come this far, and we need to stand. When we've done all the stand therefore with our loins girt about with truth. God help us to do that today. So I stand before you today, and if God will help me, I'm going to speak about, again, the wonder of the wonderful Christ. Because we've got to come together and love him around the Word of God. He desires our companionship as children of the Most High God. And my Savior said, if a man love me, he'll keep my word. And that's, beloved, important to us in these latter days. I believe last night, and the brethren that preached last night, I thought did a good job. Brother Titus, I just say Brother Titus, it means the two of them that preached. But they both brought great messages. And I was blessed by it. But here's something else I want you to see this morning. Not only was he wonderful in his birth, and not only was he wonderful in prophecies, but he was wonderful in his life. And to cover this thought would be almost impossible to talk about today. You could preach till you're blue in the face, and you could write line after line of notes and everything else to preach about it. And yet, there are some things here that I saw that were amazing. One, he went hungry for 40 days, even though he was the bread of life, you see. And I didn't find, when the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I didn't find any big iron fence around the house of God. I didn't find any big gates prohibiting me from coming in. All I could hear was that preacher told me I was a sinner. And I needed to be saved. And Jesus said in the Word, as he witnessed to me, come unto me, all ye that labor and labor, he laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
You know what? He has.
Amen.
As old as we become, he still gives us enough strength to be able to come to the house of God with the saints. He had the power to offer the water of life when he himself said on the cross, I thirst. He could still a raging sea, if you will. Or he could bless little children. He could preach to the multitudes. But he was never too busy to talk to one lost soul.
Right.
And tell them their need and necessity of being saved by God's amazing grace. He led no army. But my Bible, beloved, tells me and declares that there is an army of believers devoted to him and his teachings. And we are some of them this morning.
Yes. Amen.
And that's a wonderful blessing. He didn't bother with politics. He wasn't a politician. But I'll tell you something. He's upset every government that's rejected him. And by the way, he'll destroy the last world empire.
Right. Yeah.
Headed up by the Antichrist.
That's right.
He's not a loser. Hallelujah, he's a winner.
Amen.
He's never married when he was here first time. But get ready.
Amen.
One day.
Amen.
One day, hallelujah.
Amen.
He's coming back and he's going to call us up and we're going to go up to be with him. And he's going to take a bride unto himself.
Amen.
And it won't be a universal bride.
Amen.
It'll be... Brother, you were right. It'll be a Baptist bride. It'll be only the faithful one in his kind of church that'll be in the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
I'm not trying to shove it down your throat. I just get excited when I think about it. Because it's the truth, and the truth ought to excite brothers and sisters. It ought to excite every one of us this morning. So I see that, and I praise Him for His grace and His mercy. You see, today, I want to tell you something else. Everybody at that wedding will be happy, even the guests. They'll be happy. And in the book of Revelation, it says the guests will be there.
Yes, sir.
And they're to be invited. But you know, the bride won't need to be invited. You know why? She'll make herself ready. She knows when it'll be. Yes, sir. So one thing I want to highlight is this as well. It was the religious people of Jesus' day that hated Him. And when I look about me today and I see all the finery and all the big pomp and everything else to do with religion, it's people who have Jesus in their heart and the Spirit of God dwells within them, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in us, the Bible said. Paul writes over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. But there's a lot of religion today. And we see it on our newscast. But how many do you see on the newscast when it gives you a telecast on the news about somebody in a Baptist church, a poor little old Baptist preacher that gets up and preaches the Word of God and people are blessed and edified in the Word of God and everything else? No, it's the world's religion.
Right.
It's all the big to-do and the big fancy stuff and everything else that they want. You say you're jealous? No, I'm not. I feel sorry for them. You see, many are declaring today their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, their attitude is nobody better tell them how to live. And whether that life is wrong and doing things that the Lord told us not to do, and He warns us about the consequences of sin and everything else. Now, why did He do that? Because the Bible said He loved you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. And that old song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." How wonderful that is. How glorious that is. And I say to us today, and I want to be reminded myself, we need a fresh look again at the crucifixion. I'm not just talking about in the spring of the year. I'm talking about understanding what it cost to redeem you and I from our sins. Get a picture of what Jesus paid to save us by the marvelous grace of God. I think about it, and I see Him carrying His own cross, if you will. And all this earth gave Him, the only recognition He got was a crown of thorns that they shoved down on His brow when He laid aside the crown of glory. He healed. He made the sick well again. But men beat Him and slapped His face and spit on Him. Even though He made blind eyes to see, to beat the Lord of glory. And then nailed Him to the cross. I say to you this morning, beloved, He was wonderful in His birth. And He was wonderful in His life. He was wonderful in His death, as horrible as it must have been. He was condemned by the authorities of His time, of course, with the permissive will of God. He was crucified outside the city as a common criminal, but you know what? He paid our sin debt.
That's right.
Jesus Christ did something for you and I, Brother Randy, that we couldn't do for ourselves. He loved us enough to die for us on the tree of the cross. Don't, please, don't ever take your salvation for granted. May God bless you and edify you with some truths of His precious Word in this meeting this week. But also may we take with us too a constant reminder and a renewal of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. See, I don't want to remember those things. I don't have to remember those things. But just imagine what it was. The Bible teaches me He laid down His life for me that I might be saved. And as I look at it, during that time, it tells me the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And it tells me that during this time, as He was nailed to the cross, He prayed to His Heavenly Father, to our God. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." An insolent Irreverent people taunting him shouted, "He saved others, why can't he save himself?" And he tells us, look over with me in the book of James in chapter 4. And let me, and it this hit me when Brother Gordon mentioned what took place this morning and why Brother and Sister Jones had to leave. We need to be praying for that family. And I know you are, and I know you will. But you never know, there may be somebody in that family that's lost without Jesus Christ. And even through this time of sorrow, may God be pleased if there's a lost soul there that they might be saved. But God tells us to be prepared. And every time I hear something like this, this verse comes to mind. He said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I'll be 69 in a few months. And I'm still a young man, Brother Ginn. And these fellows, Brother Johnson and Brother Clark and them, used to come up. Brother Jones used to be down here, and several of you others. They used to be down here. We'd be seated in the front, and they'd come down and say, "You young preachers. You young preachers." But I wonder why I hadn't heard that, Brother. It breaks me in ears. I don't understand that. You see. But we're to be prepared. Are you ready today? You say, we need to be ready. But I believe one of the glorious verses pertaining to the events of the day was there in that scene at Calvary. One of the thieves on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Man, Jesus believed on Jesus, I should say. And responded, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Amen.
I don't read over there as some of these people want to tell you. You need to be baptized to be saved, or you need to join the church to be saved. All he did was repent and believe in his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him that very day he'd be with him in paradise.
Amen.
How wonderful that is. He trusted the Lord, and he was saved when he did so. You see, yes, Jesus is wonderful. He's wonderful in his resurrection. Look over in Matthew 27, please. Brother Gordon, I've got a bad habit. I don't know how I got into this, but I forget to notice what time I came up here. I think I've got to be done by 1 o'clock. Thank you, brother. But in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 65, when they laid Jesus to rest in that borrowed tomb, Pilate gave some instruction over there and told them to make it as sure as you can. And as we see this, we could talk about the centurion when he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." He still is. Isn't he? Still is. But then he told them to make it sure, if you will. He said, and make it as I may have the wrong verse here, but he said, Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way. Make it as sure as you can." There were people that had trusted in Jesus Christ that were causing all kinds of confusion for these religionists, those lost souls that had their own religion. And they didn't want that to be exposed. And so he said, make it as sure as you can. But as wonderful as it is, they put that big stone over there to seal the tomb, if you will. But the grave couldn't hold him.
Amen.
Jesus said before they crucified him to his disciples, he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also."
Amen.
And so what happened? The stone was rolled away. And when they went to anoint him, if you will, with spices and everything, on the first day of the week they went, and the tomb was empty.
Yeah.
And they, he said, "He's not here, for he has risen as he said he would."
Amen.
And he's alive today. Our
Amen.
God is not dead.
Amen.
Friend, that's something to shout about.
Amen.
And so as I see it, those unbelievers made the tomb as sure as they could, you see. They tried to discredit him, but you know, up from the grave He arose.
Amen.
And so one day he's coming to get us. I've got time yet, so I'm not getting to that yet. So the Lord, your Savior and mine, has outlived false doctrine.
Amen. Amen,
all kind of things they want to tell you today that's biblical, but it's not.
Right.
You say, well, you have to get this NIV, or you've got to get this, whatever this is, or the Living Bible, and you've got to have this and everything to really understand it. I got the King James. I understand what he's saying, don't
Amen.
You?
Amen.
He lets you and I know what he's telling us. And I don't want somebody taking the Bible and penknifing it, taking it apart. I just want to see what the Spirit led these men to write. Yes, sir. But how wonderful his life was. You see, how wonderful his death was. How wonderful his resurrection is. You see, and it's wonderful today. He's not a mere memory. My God is alive. Your God today is alive, beloved. And so he ever liveth, the Bible said, to make intercession for us.
Yes,
and though they want to tell you, you must pray to Mary to get to God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. We have access to the throne of grace.
Amen.
He gives us that. That's part of being saved. You see, there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And so he ever liveth to do that for us. And we can come to God in His name and confess our sin. And He tells us if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have we got a wonderful Savior?
Amen.
Have you got a wonderful salvation?
Amen.
Do we serve a great God?
Amen.
That's what you and I have today. And when I think of what He did in my life, and I may have said this, people at Home Baptist Church, you may have heard me say this here before. The day I was saved, I grew up hard. And I grew up in a rough neighborhood and everything else. But you know what? When God gets a hold of you and Jesus saves you, He changes you, brother.
Amen.
There's a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. He's a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
And so, wherever two or three are gathered together, how wonderful to know that He'll be there. Boy, I tell you what, He said He would be. He's not far away. He made His promise. You see, and then He tells us, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." How many times, brethren, have you driven a long time, several hundred miles, to be in a conference, and then when you got there after the service ended that night, you just collapsed in bed and you slept like a log? But it was worth the drive. It was worth coming to the house of God to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To be with people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the truth and want to serve Him with like precious faith. Man, we're blessed. One or two more things real quickly. He's wonderful in His power to save.
Amen.
He extends an invitation to us in the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's simply, and He'll save us with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple childlike faith.
Yeah.
It isn't something that the preacher has to be eloquent or anything else, but that sinner needs to repent and believe in their heart in Jesus Christ in order to be saved.
Amen.
People want to tell you, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to follow this, and you've got to observe that. What He's telling us, we've got to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior to me. Believing that He died for you and did something for you that you could not do for yourself. He paid the penalty for our sins. And God the Father was pleased to accept that in behalf of this old sinner standing before you this morning. I'll never forget when the day I was saved. I don't think you ever get over it, do you? I went to Brother Clark that Sunday morning after the service, or Sunday afternoon. I had Nancy with me. I said, "Brother, we want to get married." He said, "I won't do it." I said, "You won't do it? What did I do?" He said, "You're lost and she's saved." And you know what? He was right, wasn't he? He was right. And I'd been going there long enough now for several weeks to understand some of the things he was saying when he preached. It wasn't long before I was down on my knees and I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. I understood I was lost. He didn't pat me on the shoulder, pat me on the head or anything. I said, "You're lost." And starting out as a church member, if I did something wrong, he'd come to me and tell me about it. But you know what? I respected and loved him for it. I'm not patting myself on the back either. But he rebuked me when I needed rebuking. And the Bible said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Isn't that what he said? And that's what he did for me, you see. You say, well, he did it to you. No, he did it for me. There's a difference. So, how marvelous it is, how wonderful he is. He paid the penalty for my sins. Simple? Yeah. But you know what, my friend, today it's so simple that a lot of people stumble at the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because the Holy Spirit has to quicken an individual and give them the faith to receive Christ. And so many people are looking for a magic formula and everything else. And they want to tell you something. They want to have all the pomp and the beauty of something called religion, when all it takes is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And a willingness to serve Him and to follow Him. Have you believed? Do you believe in my Savior today? Or are you still walking in unbelief? You might have somebody fooled. I was going to say confused, but you may have somebody fooled. They may think you're saved. Are you really saved today? I mean, has there been a time? Don't preach this at a conference. Should I stop? But is there a time and place in your life when you truly trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Huh? Trust Him today if you haven't. Only He can save you. No one else can. And I'll be honest with you, no one else will, because they can't. But then let me share this with you, one last thing. Brother Cummins mentioned it too. Jesus will be wonderful when He comes again for us. Man, we're going up. Somebody says that defies the law of gravity. That can't happen. Yes, it can happen. It will happen. You see, we're going to leave this vulgar, vile, wicked world behind one day. And He'll call, and we're going to rise up to meet Him. How wonderful it is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes. And I love that promise. Let me read one more place to you. Come back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I love to read this. I love to think about it. I just love to spend time and just sit back and think about it. I'm just thinking what God's done for us, what He's provided for you. One of the greatest blessings we parents can have is to see your children and then your grandchildren come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, because He cares for us. And the greatest thing we can do is bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so when we look at these verses, this isn't imagination. This is the real thing. And I'm not talking about, is it Coca-Cola that says that? I drink Pepsi anyway. But He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Some have died." He said, "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Why? Because if they were saved and had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a great reunion one day.
Amen.
And we're going to see them.
Amen.
I got a mother up there. I got a dad up there, saved just before, not long before he died, but he was saved, made a change in his life. And that's the difference, you see. And so there's others today that have no hope. But if you and I have trusted in Jesus Christ, we have a living hope, you see. And then he said over here, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen, brother.
Boy, I tell you what, who's got a better future than a believer in Jesus Christ? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. What, by what authority you say that, preacher? By the word of the Lord.
Amen.
That's the authority.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else my pastor taught me years ago. He said this, and I used to think it was a scriptural verse. Because all I heard him say for several weeks after I got saved was, if it's Bible, it's Baptist, and if it's Baptist, it's Bible. And I believed him.
Amen.
And you know what? He's right.
Amen.
And though he said over here, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them or go before them which are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Are you listening?
Amen.
Are you listening? I'll be honest with you. I don't see much hope anymore in this world. Outside of to be in the conference with the saints of God and fellowship and worship in the truth of God's precious word. See these brethren, Tacoma, Washington, Florence, Kentucky, Elkton, Kentucky, Mount Morris, Michigan, West Virginia, I got it, Paducah, Kentucky, Hyco, West Virginia. What I'm talking about, Clarksville, Tennessee. This is the joy for a believer in Jesus Christ. These are people that believe the truth. And we have something in common together. You see. And so he said, then we which remain and are alive, or alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My granddad. All I really can remember about my granddad lived in Kentucky in the hills was, boy, he could pray. Man, he prayed. Every night he'd pray. When we were down in Kentucky, every night he'd gather us together and he prayed. And I mean, he prayed. He'd pray a half hour, 45 minutes before you knew it. Because he loved to talk to his Father. And he believed. Casting all your care upon him, you see. Then he said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, when you've got a promise in this book, you've got a promise that God's going to keep.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And so the Bible said that these things will happen. And I'm no better than anybody else, but I believe them. Do you? Do you today, brother?